All right, take your Bible if you would, and we have been in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 now for a couple of weeks. I do anticipate being in this chapter one more week. I think I'll finish the chapter, Lord willing, next week. And even though the chapter only has 17 verses in it, it's just so rich and so full and so relevant for the moment in which we find ourselves in our world today. The three topics that are discussed in this chapter are the church, the rapture, and the Antichrist. And boy, have we had conversations throughout Christendom about these three subjects. And as relevant as they were 2,000 years ago at the church at Thessalonica, they are as relevant in our churches tonight. And as important as it was for the church at Thessalonica to understand the biblical truths on the church, the rapture, and the Antichrist, it is important for our church as well. The Apostle Paul, he deemed it so important that he made it part of his new believers class. And I mentioned last week that maybe we need to consider deepening our new believers classes, including the doctrine of eschatology. I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven. I know that's a wonderful peace and a wonderful comfort for a new believer. But also to kind of understand that God is in control when it comes to the affairs of the world, to the approach of the world, that even though Satan is the god of this world, he's not in control of the universe or in the world. He's not working on his timetable. He is under the authority of Jesus Christ. And so what a help and what a blessing it is. If I could just catch you up by review and not take a long time in review, when you come to chapter 2, verse 2, Paul's dealing with some anxiety in the church. That word shaken and troubled, those two words carry with it the idea of some anxiety and some pain. I mean, it's not, we're talking about some deep shakenness here that is going on inside of the church. And the reason it was going on there is because somebody had lied to them and somebody had misrepresented the Apostle Paul and somebody had preached false doctrine to them concerning the rapture, the church, the rapture, and the Antichrist. And they were telling them that they were already in the day of the Lord, or the day of Christ, and that they were already in the tribulation period. And that church knew that if they didn't want to go to hell, nobody should want to go to hell, but they also knew they didn't want to ever face Jesus when he came back for vengeance or to unleash justice. And that's what the Apostle Paul had taught them. By the way, when it comes to God, no one ever ought to want justice. Sometimes people say, Pastor, I just want justice. My friend, if the peoples of the world received due justice from Jesus, we would be separated from God for all eternity because of our sin. You do not want to ask God for justice when it comes to the area of your life. You want mercy and for grace and for salvation. And so they knew that they wanted to receive the Lord in the day of grace and not face him in the day of vengeance. So as circumstances were around that and folks were dying and they thought that Jesus was going to come back in their day and the persecution was growing, they kind of got a little bit shaken as to where they stood in the calendar of the Lord. Now the Apostle Paul moves immediately to secure them and he reminds them of the word of God that he taught them. And I just want to stop and say this, Christian, there is nothing in this world more able to secure you in your fear than the Word of God. Okay? To those of you that doubt your salvation, you can go back and you can try to remember exactly where you were. You can go and try to remember your meaning, your heart, your words. But none of that is going to secure you. You need to secure yourself with the word that says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And so wherever I need to be secured, nothing is more powerful than the Word of God, not your circumstances. And God forbid you trust your memory. Man, the older I get, the more I struggle with my memory. And it's kind of scary a little bit about that. But even my short-term memory, sometimes I can't remember where I put something once in a while. It bothers me if you misplace something. And so you don't want to count on your memory. You don't want to count on your circumstances. You definitely don't want to count on what your mama said. And you may love your mama, but your mama can't get saved for you, and your mama can't tell you you are saved. Only the Holy Spirit of God can do that, and does that through the Word of God. So the Apostle Paul, in securing this church, uses the Word of God. Verse number 5, he says, don't you remember when I was there, I told you these things. Now, the Apostle Paul, the only thing he told them was what was directly and divinely related to him or revealed to him. So it was the Word of God. The Old Testament was written down, but these New Testament principles were given to the Apostle Paul through the Lord Jesus, revealed to him there, and then passed down. So he was securing them with the Word of God. And he says, listen, before that day could even happen, two massive things have to happen on the earth. There has to be a falling away, a massive falling away. This falling away is a global rejection and denial of righteousness and of God. That cannot happen in the church age, because the true church of Jesus Christ could never fall away from him. They never can reject him. They can never deny him as Lord and Savior. They cannot be saved one minute and then lost again to damnation the second minute. It can't happen in this age. And so what they're talking about there is going to happen prior to probably the middle of the of the tribulation, where there is just this denial, global denial of the Lord. That's a falling away. And the second thing he said that had to happen was that the man of sin would have to be revealed. Now, we know that the man of sin, the son of perdition, he is a normal man until he's not normal. He's a normal man until he's indwelt by Satan himself, as far as possessed. We know that he will be Satan's superman. We know he will be an extremely gifted man, talented man in his humanity. He will have everything that a rock star would have. He would have everything that a global superstar would need. And then you inject that with a demonism or a mystery of iniquity, and it's just on fire. This is who this man will be. His responsibility, along with the false prophet, will be to lead the world to worshiping Satan as the true and living God. And I just want to stop right here and make sure you understand that Satan is not an eternal being. Satan was created as an angel named Lucifer by God. Satan cannot say, I am. He can't. He can't. He's not God. So Paul says these two things have to happen before the day of the Lord for that ultimate reckoning of justice, of course, at the battle of Armageddon. And he says to them, listen, don't be deceived in this. And he talks about what the Antichrist will do as he comes into that temple and presents himself as God, and we know that he will not be God. Verse number 6 talks about how timing is involved. And now ye know what withholdeth, and I'll explain that in a moment, that he might be revealed in his time. And in his time is in God's time. God will determine when the man of sin is allowed to be revealed. God will determine how the events are happening. And God is working in the world now, even so. And so this is not where somehow Satan all of a sudden has the ball and he's on offense and he's calling the shots. He is involved as the God of this world. He is the prince and power of the air. He does have minions, and he does have an army, and he does have followers. And they're moving, but they're not moving outside of the authority of God. Never in God's eternity has he ever been second fiddle to anything, okay? So in his time, as the man will be revealed, is how God will unveil that. And how God works to unveil that is mentioned in verse number 7. Paul said, now I understand the way you look at the world, that the mystery of iniquity is already working. There's many antichrists that are in the world that are working. Now he's talking specifically about the antichrist being revealed. And we talked about that last week. Is he on the earth now? Well, there are many antichrists on the earth now. The antichrist, if you believe that Jesus could come back at any moment, then you must believe he's on the earth now. If Jesus comes back 100, 200 years from now, then that man will probably be born later. But there's antichrist now. So the mystery of that and the spirit of that is here now. And so Satan thinks he's prepared. Let me go back. He thinks he's prepared. But he's not God. So he's not omniscient, which means he doesn't know everything. So he's prepared as he can be, but God will soon prove him to be, expose him to be the fool that he is. So when it comes to God's timing, as we talked about this, in verse number 7, it says, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed. And we believe, according to verse number 7, the one that is doing the letting or the restraining is the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God upon the earth resides where? Better say in you, believer. And so he resides in the church. He resides in the believer. And the only way that the church can be taken away is if God does that. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And so what's referenced here is the rapture. And it's imperative that you understand this. The rapture is the closing event of the church age. Okay? So after the rapture, then you have the tribulation period that will form after the signing of that treaty. And so then once the church is taken up, and the Holy Spirit has been taken off of the earth, then the restraint to Satan, the restraint to his ability has been removed. And then the pace quickens. And Satan feels like he's winning or he has opportunity. And so he begins to take advantage of that. And he gets to the point in verse number 8 where the wicked one shall be revealed. Paul says that. And that'll happen in the middle of the tribulation period. And then I love what the Apostle Paul says right after that. He puts a little comma there and he says, whom the Lord shall consume. Like, you talk about Thanksgiving dinner, kind of all the preparation, all of this gone in seconds, right? So the whole world's worried about his revelation, and Paul just says, and then whom shall the Lord shall consume? And so he goes on to talk about that. He'll consume with the brightness, with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, speaking of the Antichrist, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Not true wonders, lying wonders. Remember, Satan is a counterfeit and he is a deceiver. He's very powerful with his powers to counterfeit and deceive. But the truth is not in him. He's a liar from the beginning. You understand that. Bible says in verse number 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, which is unrighteousness-ception, in them that perish. Now here we get into tonight's lesson. And the Apostle Paul, in his teaching on the subject of the church, the rapture, and the tribulation, and the Antichrist, He's been talking about and focusing on the man of sin, on the son of perdition, specifically. And he's talking about how the mystery of iniquity is already working. So he's dealing with a lot of spiritism as the transition from this age into the tribulation age. Verse number 10 is really where he injects people into this equation. And so what the Apostle Paul says is that the wicked one is going to be consumed by the Lord. Specifically, this one whose power is after the working of Satan with lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. And I want to take that "in them that perish" and springboard tonight into some thoughts about salvation, damnation in the tribulation. And that's the title for the message tonight: salvation and damnation in the tribulation. So some questions. It's Bible study. You're at home. I should be watching Jeopardy right now, so I'm used to answering questions at this point in time. Just banging this around in your thought process. What type of person is going into the tribulation? Sometimes I'm not sure that we realize who's going into the tribulation. Sometimes I think that if we're not careful, we almost see a futuristic cyborg or robot or some type of Avenger. Nothing against the Avenger movies and all that. But we kind of see through television and through our own mind the tribulation not being as human or as normal as what we think it is. And if we're not careful, we forget that it could be your husband. Could be your wife. Worse, could be your kids. Your neighbor. Your boss. Definitely my boss, Pastor. See, we believe Jesus could come back at any moment. So, second question. Will there be saved people going into the tribulation? No. No. When the rapture happens, all of the believers, the saved people on the earth, are gone. There will not be a Christian, a true Christian, on the earth after the rapture. So only unsaved people go in to the tribulation. That breaks my heart, because I want people to know the Lord. So the Bible says, and Paul says, that those folks that go into the tribulation are folks that were not believers. So now, knowing that only unsaved people go into the tribulation, and knowing that the Lord is going to consume with the power of His Spirit and the brightness of His coming, and understanding all of that that's going to happen, now with the recognition that that could be my wife, not mine, but she's a believer, but that could be your kid, or people we know and love, questions start coming to our mind. Pastor, is God going to consume every person in the tribulation? Are they all damned? Pastor, will anybody be saved in the tribulation? Good questions. The answer to your first question will he consume everyone, is no, he won't. The answer to your second question, will anyone be saved? You need Revelation chapter number 6. Please turn there if you would, please. Revelation's in the back of your Bible. It's the very last book. Find, if you would, Revelation chapter 6. When you get to Revelation chapter 6, the seals of judgment are being opened. We know this to be inside the tribulation period. And so John is writing here, teaching us about this. When you come to verse number 9, I believe you come to the fifth seal. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 6, verse number 9, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I, John, saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Now, we know the context of this is in the tribulation period, right? So this testimony that they had, this obedience to the word of God, is not something they had in the church age. It's something they did in the tribulation age. Had they had it in the church age, they would have been what? I heard you. Raptured, right? Watch the difference in the believer during the tribulation time. Verse number 10. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little time, or a little while, or a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. So the believers, that people that are saved in the tribulation period, they will not live long. Maybe 3.5 years after they're saved. Because the evidence of their salvation or their faith in God will be their obedience to the word of God, and it will be the testimony in which they lived, right? And you know that you're going to have 144,000 evangelists. You know the two witnesses are going to be preaching. You know the everlasting gospel will be there. And yet, they're going to face the man of sin. They're going to face the beast. And you think they're developing contact tracing now. You wait till the tribulation period. They will know where you are, who you are, what you're doing. And they will know whether or not you're for the Lord or you're for the Antichrist. And you will have to make a public decision. Take the mark of the beast, you're damned forever. Reject the mark of the beast, believing upon the Lord, they're going to kill you on the spot. By the way, Jesus said, don't fear them that can kill the body. Fear him that can kill the soul and spirit. Okay? So, will there be folks that are saved in the tribulation period? Yes. An innumerable host. That's all God does is save people. In this context, though, Paul's dealing with those that perish. So, Pastor, who's going to perish? Who's going to be saved? Well, let me start with who's going to perish. When you come to verse number 10, verse number 11, and verse number 12, if you have your ink pen, this is time to make some marks. Those that will perish in verse number 10, received not. You see those two words? Underline it. When you come down to verse number 12, you see the words believed not. Underline it. When you come to verse number 12 and it says, but had pleasure in unrighteousness, somewhere beside that, write the word chose not. They received not, they believed not, and they chose not. Now, most people, unfortunately, some church people would think, man, Pastor, I just don't get people. Are you telling me, with all that will happen inside the tribulation, with all of the destruction and the church gone and the chaos and the man of sin and all of that, are you telling me that people will still believe or will receive not, believe not, and choose not? I am, but that's not who we're talking about here. Okay? Here, we're talking about people in this age that receive not, believe not, or chose not, will be the ones that will perish in that age. Excuse me, Pastor. Let me try to be as clear as I possibly can. People that will be saved in the tribulation period will have not rejected, disbelieved, or chose against God in this age. What you do now affects what happens then. So the Apostle Paul here is letting the church know. Now remember, the whole purpose for this book is he's encouraging this little church of believers who are being told and taught falsely things about God, things about the church, things about the rapture, and things about the Antichrist. And the Apostle Paul is securing them in this age and this day. Received, he says, verse number 10, in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Hold your hand in 2 Thessalonians, cross-reference 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 2. Come on, it's Bible study time. Okay? 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 2, look if you would at verse number 13. For this cause, that's interesting because in verse number 11 of our text, that's coming up. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Right? So the Apostle Paul is saying to the church, listen, you heard the gospel. You heard the word of God. You did not receive the gospel as a fable or a lie, as the word of men. You heard it as the word of God, and you received it, and it brought to you salvation. Now, there are some in that church, they had been preaching falsely, and they were not believers, and they had not received the word of God as the truth as it was the word of God. They had received it as the word of men. John himself said, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. If you have an opportunity to receive Jesus in this age, you will be denied that opportunity in the tribulation. Number two, verse number 12, said that they all might be damned who believed not the truth. Okay. Well, Pastor, You said if I had an opportunity to receive Jesus in this life, in this age, and I don't, then I won't have the opportunity to receive here. But what about people who don't have the opportunity to receive? Great question. Go to Romans chapter 10. Let's follow the process of salvation. I'm not telling you that salvation is a process. It is immediate. But you need some truths in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, you know to be wonderful saving verses. If you're a Christian, you probably know these verses. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Great verse to secure your salvation on. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, which means everybody gets saved the same way. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now we believe that. Okay. So ultimately, your belief and heart is evidenced by your mouth. You believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. So ultimately, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Now that can be verbally or that can be within your voice within. But there's a moment where in order for you to be saved, you cry out to Jesus as your Lord. You personally. It doesn't just happen by osmosis. Now Paul, in his defense of this and people hearing the truth, walks us through a process of how that believes by going backwards. So, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, don't lose me, shall be saved. Now watch. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? So in order for you to call upon the Lord as your Savior, you must believe in your heart. Belief enables call. Verse 14. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? So in order for somebody to believe the gospel, they must hear the gospel. In order for somebody to believe upon Jesus, they must hear about Jesus. Come back to our text, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, right? Verse number 10 says that they will perish because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Verse number 12 says that they all might be damned who believed not the truth. Right? So, if you had opportunity to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior in this age, you will not have opportunity, according to the Word of God, in the next age. Pastor, I'm not sure I believe that. Hold on to the end and I'll prove it. If you do not believe, you have opportunity to believe and you do not, and you will not have opportunity to believe in that age. Well, Pastor, now this goes back into what if somebody has not heard? If somebody has never had an opportunity to receive, and if you have to hear in order to believe, and they've never heard, then they're going to get an opportunity to be saved. So here's where the church has got this thing selfish. Well, Pastor, what about the poor African in the jungle who's never had an opportunity? that African is not as poor in opportunity as you think he is. It's not the jungle person that Paul's defending against here. It's the people that go to church. It's you. It's you who have heard. It's you who know. It's you who know who Jesus is. You know who you are. You know the way of salvation. And yet you will not believe. If you don't believe now, with this opportunity, you won't believe then. Who chose not? Verse number 12. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Wow! So he's talking and securing this little church. They heard the gospel. They received it as the word of God. They believed it. They chose it. They let it transform their life. But there were a group of people who flat knew that to come to Jesus meant that I have to repent of my sin. They flat knew that they had to give up their life in order to receive life. And they flat chose, I want my wickedness way more than I want Jesus. Boy, that's a lot of kids who grew up in church. That's probably most of our youth departments in our churches. They know what it is to repent. They put on this wonderful exterior, but in their heart they have chosen unrighteousness to rejection of the Lord. My friend, you don't have to worry about some poor African. He's got an opportunity. You better worry about your poor soul. Those that receive not, those that believe not when they knew what they should do, and those that chose not, they will perish. Pastor, how can you be so sure? Okay. Back to our text. Verse number 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause... Oh, I wish you were here tonight. I would ask you, what's the next word say in that Bible? God. God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. What? Pastor, I thought God wants all men to be saved. He does. That's why you live in this day. When you go into that tribulation period, that's a time of judgment. And part of that judgment is a delusion that God Himself brings to people. Not just any people. People who have received not, believe not, and chose not Jesus now. God says, I'll send you a delusion then. Sometimes people think, man, Pastor, I know I'm not a Christian, but as long as I don't die, if the rapture happens I know enough to be saved that, listen, as soon as the rapture happens and I realize that I'm left behind, I'm going to drop to my knees and I'm going to get saved. I know they're going to kill me, but I'm going to get saved anyway. The Bible says you're delusional. No, you won't. If you're not willing to be saved in this age, you won't be willing to be saved in that age. It's interesting. Faith in Jesus will save them in this age. Faith in the Antichrist will damn them in that age. And God says that to the people that have opportunity now and despise that day of grace, that age ends and delusion will be poured out. Pastor, I will never believe a delusion. You believe one now. If you believe it now, you'll believe it then. If you believe a delusion in the age of grace, you'll definitely believe a delusion in the tribulation age. Well, what delusion do I believe now? Come back up, if you would please, to verse number 10. Because they receive not, the end there, the love of the truth. You don't believe in the truth now. Why would you believe in it then? The truth that you're a sinner. The truth that you can't save yourself. The truth that you're not in charge. You're playing games with God. You believe that you dictate your own life. That you call the shots. That you're going to do it on your time. You're believing a delusion. And then you don't believe in the love of God. You don't believe that Jesus is satisfying, that Jesus can cleanse you, that Jesus is enough for you. You believe that you need certain things, certain people, this or that. Everything that is abstract of Jesus is delusional. You believe delusion now. You'll believe delusion then. Had to go deep into the Bible. But what I found was startling. Isaiah 66. I'm keeping an eye on the clock. Hardly could read these words. Isaiah 66, verse number 1. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? Where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made. All those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. He's talking about who he will acknowledge and who he won't. He's always acknowledged the poor and contrite in spirit. Verse number 3 talks about those that are not. He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrificed a lamb is as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation is as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense is as if he blessed an idol. These are folks that had believed not, received not, and chose not. Yea, watch this. They have chosen their own ways. And their soul delighteth in their abominations. Boy, that sounds just like 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Watch verse number 4. I, God, also will choose their, what's the word? Delusions. Will bring fears upon them. Why would you do that, God? Because when I called, none did answer. And when I spake, they did not hear, but they did evil before mine eyes and chose that in which I delighted not. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy. and they shall be ashamed. I wish I could hear you say amen. Push the little emoji. Send up the smile. Push the thumbs up. Thank God I'm saved, man. So let me conclude. Will there be people saved in the tribulation? Millions. The people saved in the tribulation will be people that never had an opportunity here. Now, let me be very clear what that opportunity is. They had to have the opportunity to receive. They had to have the opportunity to believe, which meant they had to hear, and they had to choose. So to anyone on the earth, in all of our churches, you know who God is. You know who Jesus is. You know who you are. You have been pricked by the Holy Spirit of God that you're a sinner and you should be saved. And you said, no. I want whatever I want. I want my life. I reject you. If you go into tribulation, you'll be damned. You can't be saved. Today is the day of salvation. So that poor African you're worried about in the jungle who's never heard, if he goes into the tribulation, do you know that the whole world will hear the gospel in that time? And that poor African that you secure yourself, that you know about God, falls prostrate on the ground and humbles himself and beats on his chest, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I receive, I believe, and I choose. They're going to kill his body. The moment they do that, he'll be with the Lord Jesus forever and forever and forever. And you, sir or ma'am, who did not receive and did not believe and did not choose, you will take the mark of the beast in your arm or in your forehead. And you will stand delusional in allegiance with that beast. And he will come. And in the brightness of his coming and the power of his spirit, vengeance and justice will be poured out. And you'll be lost forever. The good news is you don't have to do that. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Next week's lesson takes this awful and awesome truth and makes it how we live our lives on this earth now. Come back next week, shall we pray?